and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. Welcome to our show. We're broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn, 837 Union Street between 6th and 7th. If you want to come down, you can also go to tealoungen-y.com. We're giving away coffee. Got a bunch of other cool stuff. Reedy Johnson's going to be here playing some music. Actor Jaimon Hansu. I don't want to mess that up. He's coming down, Jaimon Hansu.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer for that new movie last night. What was it called?
What's it, The Island?
Yeah, The Island.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't look. It looks okay. Anyways, so come down to Park Slope. We're here, and you can touch Mark Reilly, as
no,
I
you
always
can't.
Say. Yes, you can. I swear
no,
to God.
No, you can't.
How you feeling, Mark Reilly?
I'm
all right?
I'm feeling all right, man. I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Look at the people. Come on. Come on. You got to perk up.
That's better.
There are people here that literally, Rich, I think, sits outside of my apartment. But there are people here that come every time. Now they've lost their excitement. Now they're just here like, okay, what do you got? What do you got? It's, bring it on. We came down, and you know who we are. Let's make this happen. Well, let's make it happen then, Riley. Let's do that. So in London, yesterday, as you all know, there were a series of 4 explosions and three on a tube and the tube stations, 1 on a bus. And apparently they were duds. Apparently just the detonators went off on these explosions, but they did have the intention of doing the same type of damage that was done on July 7th.
Yeah, they were trying to do that same kind of damage. And this time around, apparently some of the passengers on at least one of the trains confronted one of the alleged bombers.
What's in the bag, buddy?
Yeah, they tried to hold him, actually, and he ended up fleeing successfully.
Yeah, well, that's what a number of witnesses' accounts said. They heard the cap, they saw the smoke, and then they watched these guys run off.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this is that it must be very difficult when you're dealing with a city the size of London to be the police commissioner and actually come out and say, well, this was obviously a botched plan to do as much damage as happened on July 7th, but it gives us a good lead in the case.
Yeah.
You know, like that's an interesting turn of phrase. They're like, huh? But we got the things. You know, I would still be freaking out.
Well, you know, it's funny. There was some momentary panic in the trains in London, but then Londoners apparently just decided to go back to what they were normally doing, which I guess is good for Tony Blair, who, by the way, is catching hell about all this. Tony Blair is being blamed because they see this as an extension of people's opposition to his decision to follow George Bush into Iraq.
Right, right. How does it feel to be W's friend now, buddy?
Yeah. Really.
So, it's interesting because I'm very proud of us, Riley, because yesterday and the day before, we refused to give any sort of substantial attention to the nomination of Supreme Court Justice John Roberts Jr., and we decided to stay on top of the Rove Scooter Libby channel leakage case from the White House. And I believe that we've been justified because right here on the Drudge Report, this is interesting about the Drudge Report, is they complain. Like, the Republicans can't do anything without talking points. They cannot go to the bathroom without talking points. They get talking points every day.
Yep.
And now we get talking points, and Drudge gets this tone like, the Democrats receive talking points because, because we did the right thing. We stayed on top of it. And the Rove scandal has been on the cover of almost every paper worldwide, despite in a few places.
Yeah.
Just because of the persistence of the press to not let the nomination be a smokescreen to the real problem that's going on.
Well, the other part is that little by little, bit by bit, the expansiveness of this little conspiracy to really bury anybody who disagreed with the administration's position on Iraq is now starting to be exposed. The New York Times today has a piece that talks about the fact that Rove and Libby, although they did not meet to work on this, worked together to refute Joe Wilson. They obviously saw this as a huge political problem that the guy that, by the way, I don't care what anybody says, the guy they sent to Africa. Don't let anybody fool you into thinking that Joe Wilson's wife had the juice to send him to Africa on her own. That's nonsense.
Yeah, like George Tenet came into the room and said, all right, who sent Wilson to Africa?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on here? I thought I ran this place.
Valerie! I mean, what? It's insane. These people did this because they thought they were going to get Wilson to back up what they were saying.
Well, this is great. This just came out this morning. That Scooter Libby, Vice President Cheney's chief aide there, told Prosecutor Fitzgerald that Tim Russert had told him about playing first.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know what Russert says? Russert goes, what? I didn't screw that guy. I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. So Russert says he didn't. And then you know, Carl Rove says that Novak told him first, and apparently Novak's given a different story. So this is a really good indication that there might at least be some perjury charges.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Scooter Libby kind of makes Carl Rove look like a normal human being. Scooter Libby is the one that was constantly, I mean, he was constantly badgering the State Department, constantly badgering their intelligence apparatus to say, look, get on the train here. Everybody else, defense, CIA, everybody else is on board. And Colin Powell, of course, had misgivings about all of this stuff in the first place. He was made to look like a complete fool in front of the world, bringing out all these documents, these videotapes, these alleged pictures of all of this different weaponry that Saddam Hussein had, and then it was all very easily explained as something other than what he told the rest of the world.
So he got on the train, he just didn't know he had a bomb in his bag.
Yeah, he got on the train, he had one of those rucksacks that the British like to talk about.
And like, now, what the hell happened here?
Yeah, and now you have a situation where, you know, the rest of the world is looking and saying, wait a minute, what in God's name were these people doing?
I hope to God it starts to break apart. See, the one thing that I think liberals do that I think is a mistake is that we honestly, like, if it gets humid today, there's going to be Democrats or liberals going, Carl Rove.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can't blame the guy for everything. The guy is not God. He's not the devil. He's just some guy, and hopefully that he made some mistakes and misstepped, and we can take him down somehow, or at least the grand jury will. It seems like Fitzgerald is really actually doing his job, and he's being thorough. I mean, there's a little bit of information that came out today, so it's our responsibility just to repeat this information in order to keep this thing on the front page of the press. So, you know, when new stuff does come out, we can report it and not let them stuff it back.
Well, the more this stuff comes out, with each passing day and each new revelation, it makes Karl Rove's position in the White House, in the Bush inner circle, that much more untenable, not just for him, but for everybody, including the president. And sooner or later, there's going to come a, I believe, push is going to come to shove. And we may see Karl Rove, on his own terms, of course, step off from the White House.
I don't want him to do that, Riley.
I know, but he's going to do it anyway. He don't like you, so he's not going to do
it. What does that mean on his own terms? Like, okay, I'm going to go get a job in the private sector. Nice working with you. Call me, George. Call me, will you?
What he's going to do is say, and it will be completely and thoroughly orchestrated like everything else Karl Rove does. He'll say, I had nothing to do with it, but
I got nothing to do with it. I got to go.
Yeah, I got to go. My presence here is damaging the president. It's hurting his efforts to do blah, 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 whatever it is he's trying to do. And I will step down without admitting any wrongdoing, you understand, and wait for the end of the grand jury. I think he may well end up getting indicted. And it's funny because with each expanding piece of information, and a lot of this information is given to the press by people who support Karl Rove. And ironically enough, so much of it seems to implicate Karl Rove.
It would be very interesting if Karl Rove just said, I'm leaving, and you just saw George Bush lose all his battery charge like a robot.
Yeah, he just melted.
They'd have to wait for someone else to plug him in and tell him what to say.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be difficult for Bush to successfully navigate this last couple of years in office if Rove is not there, and maybe that's the best we can hope for here.
Hey, folks, hey, Rich, you ever find yourself talking to yourself on the train? Be honest. All right, well, you know what? You might be in trouble. I'll tell you why in just a second.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's 14 past the hour.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your vlog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Air America Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn. We're at 837 Union Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. Come on down. We got free coffee. Freddy Johnson's coming. Jaimon Hansu will be here in a little while. I'm giving away complimentary 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement, the DVD of the Month Club for independent foreign films. These people are going nuts now.
Uh-oh.
Thank you very much for the support and the enthusiasm. I appreciate that, people. Very nice of you. Morning Sedition will be heard as part of HBO 6 Feet Under this Sunday night. I'm sure, you know, it's going to be funny because we're going to be listening to it. I'm going to be watching the show, and I'm going to be like, there went. Oh, it's done. It's over, you know, because it's going to, I think it's probably going to be on the car. I think it's in the car of the teenage daughter. I think so. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that they bought us this microphone with the money that we made from HBO.
There
Isn't
we go.
Isn't that nice? That the money was spent for well use. So right now, as usual, if you don't know what the headlines are saying, because it can be tough to figure out, we've got the iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator, and Brendan's going to go live with the intro. All right, let's feed in some headlines. President calls on Congress to extend the Patriot Act. President calls on Congress to extend the Patriot Act. Translation, President announces creation of Department of Stuff You Can't Do Anymore. From the San Francisco Chronicle, majority of soldiers say Iraq morale low. Majority of soldiers say Iraq morale low. Translation, minority consists of Rumsfeld, Rumsfeld's friend. Let's read that again. Majority of soldiers say Iraq morale low. Here's another translation. Bush says majority of soldiers are with the terrorists. Oh. All right. From Reuters, Schwarzenegger more unpopular than ever, poll finds. Schwarzenegger more unpopular than ever, poll finds. Translation, disapproval rating surpasses kindergarten cop levels. Thank you very much. All right. Okay. I'm going to be at Gotham Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night if you want to come down. That should be fun. Now, Rich, I was talking to you a minute. Let me ask you a couple other questions. So you do talk to yourself on the train occasionally. Absolutely. Do you find yourself sweating profusely? Do you avoid eye contact with people? Yeah, okay.
Oh,
so,
you're getting locked up, pal.
Now, I can see right now, do you wear clothes unsuitable for the time of year?
Yes,
you do. You're under arrest, Rich. Because apparently, according to a police memo, these are the list of things that they should look for when looking for terrorists. Now, I was almost searched, but I didn't get searched. But police here in New York City, if you're out there in the middle of the country wondering what goes on here, have now converged, at least two or three of them, on even the smallest subway stations. I was at the one by our office. I went down. And the cop, like, I must not look like a terrorist because I knew why he was there. I didn't know if something had happened or if that... You know, he was there to search me, and he just sort of looked at me, and I looked at him, and he went, nah, you know, and he let me by. But it is happening, and we got a report just in from London that police there say that they have shot a guy at the Stonewall Station, and it's not clear. It seems to be that they might have shot a suspect, a bombing suspect.
Yeah.
But here in New York, the cops are definitely preparing or at least doing some deterrence for something. They'd be out of fear of the terrorist style, the London style terrorist bombings happening here in this city. And I feel, you know, what's weird, Riley. I don't feel bad about it.
No, these are going to be random searches. All of you dealers in New York, beware! Don't bring your stuff in your bag. You might get searched.
You guys, step back down to the bike, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is really going to put a huge impact in New York's drug trade. I can guarantee you that.
You're going to kick up some bike sales, though. It's like, damn, I gave up the bike.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. You know, civil libertarians here in New York, because civil libertarians are really quick to respond to stuff like this. They're really upset. They're saying, look, this can be used for racial profiling. Ray Kelly, the police commissioner here in New York, has said, no, it will not be used for racial profiling. They will choose a certain number of people and search one out of that certain number. But, you know, you got to wonder. I like Ray Kelly. I think he's been a decent police commissioner, not outstanding, but decent. And the sad part is that his reputation, as far as I was concerned, was stained by last year's Republican convention when hundreds of people were illegally, and I'm talking about hundreds of innocent people, illegally swept up, arrested, and detained here in New York. Now, given that track record, how can anybody think that they're going to do the right thing when they're allowed to random search?
Well, what about this? I mean, here are the exact points that they're looking for when they're suspecting terrorists. And the issue is some of the civil libertarians, some of the ACLU people said that this could be dangerous if not done properly. I just wonder from my own point of view, you know, living in Queens, and given that this is, here are the points. Beware of the passengers with clenched fists. So that's me.
Yeah.
Beware of the passenger nervously feeling under or patting down his or her clothes. That could be anybody.
You do that every day.
I know. I do that. Am I fat? Beware of the passengers who are wearing too much cologne. Again, Queens. Have you been to Queens? All right, beware of the passenger perspiring profusely, avoiding eye contact, mumbling, or chanting. Now, okay, chanting.
With all the iPods we got in New York, there are a lot of people who mumble and chant.
But chanting is a fairly specific thing. You know, I mean, if the person chanting is, you know, got a yoga mat and clearly on her way to yoga class, that's not who they're going to be looking for. But if the person is chanting, that means they have some sort of religious conviction, you would assume. So it seems to me that some racial profiling is built into the language here. Am I wrong?
Well, some racial profiling, if not built into the language, is going to be built into the actual practice. There are going to be some people that are going to get searched more heavily than others. Some groups will be searched more heavily than others, despite what Ray Kelly says at this point. Now, will this actually deter somebody? Maybe, maybe not. Ironically enough, Mark, and maybe this is what you're feeling, ironically enough, they have found out through studies that when police, particularly in the subways, crack down on small crimes, they often end up arresting big criminals, people with outstanding warrants for murder and that kind of thing. Because what they find is that people involved in serious criminality
are criminals.
And they don't think twice about jumping the turnstiles or doing something illegal in the train.
That's what they like to do.
Yeah, that's how they end up getting busted. So, the police are going to use that, and they're going to say, look, if we random search these people, there's a good possibility we will find something illegal on these folks.
Well, but they also say that, look, if you don't want to be searched, you can go.
And
that,
right.
But like, how is that going to happen? A guy just goes down the stairs, sees the cops, like, oh, damn, and runs back up the stairs.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that a cop's not going to go, maybe we should get that guy. Am I wrong? But maybe we should get that guy?
No, that's walking probable cause. See, they tell you
what you setup, then. You're walking through a setup.
They tell you that you have the right to decline a search of your car. Have any of you ever been in a situation where you said, no, you cannot search my car?
Oh, wait, these are liberals. They would say, I'm not comfortable with the intrusion of boundaries.
Well, what they do is impound your car. They make your life a living hell.
Uh-huh.
And I guarantee you, if you decline a search on the New York City subway system, they will find a way to make your life. You have the right to do it, and they'll tell you you have the right.
I'll tell you what's
And they take you down to the tombs.
I tell you what's going to go up in this town, the number of people saying they left something at home.
Yeah, like their ID.
You know, just going down the stairs. Oh, dude, I got to get that thing, my phone. It's home. I got to
go
get my bike because I got pot to sell. All right, it's 27 past the hour with the Tea Lounge here in Brooklyn on 857 Union Street.
Yeah.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. We've got Mark Riley's Dog of the Week coming up. Please stay with us.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Morning Sedition, broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn on 837 Union Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. TeaLoungeNY.com. Check it out. Come on down. We're giving away complimentary 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement, the DVD of the Month Club for independent and foreign films, and we're hanging out. But, just a word of warning before you leave the house today, folks. If you're clenching your fists, don't. If you're planning on nervously feeling under or patting down your clothes, be wary of that.
Don't.
Ease up on the cologne a little bit. And try to stop perspiring profusely, even though it's 99 degrees with 99% humidity. And, of course, avoid eye contact, especially with the four officers that will be at the bottom of the stairs waiting for you. And if you have, if you're carrying some weed, you might want to go back and get your phone again. Hey, Riley, do you know what time it is?
No, what?
Before I set up, I do want to say that we are going to talk about Chuck Schumer, who is showing some stones, I think, lately. You know, he's all excited and he's worked up. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Raising some money. Democratic senators kicking in their own money to the pool. And also there's a new television show that's going to pit liberals versus conservatives in a house. How can that be good?
How can that get ratings?
How can it get ratings? How can the liberals not be made to look like fools on that show? That's what I want to know. How many times can you hear, who's smoking pot again? All right, here we go. It's time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Oh, How y'all doing? The nobody cares gambit is as old as political discourse itself. And wouldn't you know, some conservative gas bags have dusted it off as the scandal involving Karl Rove and other Bush administration insiders widens and will not go away. Rove, Dick Cheney's chief of staff, Scooter Libby, and that whole neocon right-wing cabal could qualify as this week's dogs, but we're going after one guy for whom the term bootlicker would be a step up.
Mm.
Bill O'Reilly led the People Don't Care About Rove spin this week, saying, among other things, that the scandal doesn't influence anybody's life. This is the oldest trick in the book. Make an assertion you know you can't prove, then watch with satisfaction as others spread the word for you. So let's get to the heart of the matter. Bill O'Reilly is a shill, not a pollster. He knows less about what the American people care about than me and Marin. But he's on TV, and repeating this sort of thing creates its own gravitas for those who use Fox News Channel as their primary source. O'Reilly knows few people will ask how he knows what Americans think. He goes on to argue that it's the media, the Bush-bashing media, that's responsible for all the noise around Rove and his cronies. That, by the way, is the same media Mr. Lufa himself is part of. No, Bill, coverage of the Bush administration's treason, perjury, and espionage will not go away. If only you would go away, that is. Yo, Bill O'Reilly, you are the morning's edition dog of the week.
I was serious about this, Riley. I was saying that was a very good dog, by the way. Thank you.
No problem.
I was serious about this reality television show. This is a real thing. This is supposed to be an eight-part series titled Red and Blue. They're going to put a bunch of liberal kids and a bunch of conservative kids who are aspiring to be part of the political machine in a house together just to see if they can cohabitate. And I don't know how they win. How do you win?
Wait a minute. Isn't cohabiting illegal in seven states?
It is illegal in seven states.
So wait a minute.
But see, I don't like the whole idea of this, because if you get eight liberals and eight conservatives, and let me see if it's four and four. I think it's eight total. It's an eight-part series. Places 12 to 14 aspiring political consultants. Could you think of a more annoying show? Not even real political consultants, but aspiring ones from both sides in a house going over breakfast.
It's
a bloodbath. Are you kidding? It's a boar bath. I mean, how many days are you going to watch that show? There's no way that the liberals aren't going to look bad in a situation like that, because they're going to be there with a bunch of, neo-Nazi freaks who are going to be sitting there criticizing everything they do, and then they're going to be sitting there going, don't make fun of my wheat toast.
What happens the first time a liberal and a conservative couple up in one of the rooms quietly behind everybody's
what
back?
What happens?
Yeah.
I assume
do they film that?
Happens.
Do they air that part?
I doubt it, Riley.
Why not?
Well, maybe they...
Come on.
Maybe
this is reality. People do it if they stay in a house long. People start looking good to each other. You told me about that the other week.
I told you about it. Don't put this on me, Riley. You brought this up.
You said, hey.
Oh, no,
hey.
You're not putting this on me, man. You're whole. You're sitting
true,
there.
By the way. You're around people long enough, people who might look frumpy on the one hand, about 5 or 6 weeks, they start looking good. Let them stay in this situation. What? The liberals and conservatives will all become moderates.
Well, exactly, because they have to meet in the middle, in the bedroom,
right,
according to you.
Yeah.
But it's not just frumpy. It's like, I imagine that, how much, have you ever been in a relationship like that where it's like, God, I hate you, let's have sex?
Yeah. Well, that's virtually everyone I've ever had. No, only kidding. My wife listens to this show.
I am going to, I want to kill you. Let's have sex.
Let's have sex now.
Tell me about this, because this article sort of twisted my brain, and I can't even pretend to know what I'm talking about. That this Charles Schumer is raising a tremendous amount of money for the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee.
The DSCC.
Now, right, but what I didn't understand, because I come at this from a novice's point of view, is the sense that I didn't realize that independent senators are expected to and do give massive donations from their own pocket to this organization.
Yeah, to the DSCC, because what they are trying to do is restore a Democratic majority in the United States Senate, and each individual Democrat has an interest in doing this. Now, some of you may have seen some numbers about how much the Republican National Committee is raising and how much more they're raising than the Democrats. Well, the Democrats are making it up on the back end. They are putting up and ponying up to the bar with their own money, many of these senators. They're not actually required to do this under any Senate rule. It's kind of like a a gentleman's agreement.
But this is money they could have raised on their own. It's
It's
not necessarily money that they're like, hold on, let me check my wallet.
No. And see, the thing is, too, you have some extremely effective fundraisers. Both Chuck Schumer and Hillary Clinton.
Apparently, he lives down the street. He lives down the street here.
Yeah, he's close by.
Chuck, come on down. Come on. He lives up that way?
Yeah.
Wait, what, do you stalk him? the woman who brings the buttons is like, he lives right over there on the second floor. I see into his window from where... Okay. That would be sad if you were stalking Chuck Schumer. Just stalk me instead. You know, try... Yeah, no, okay.
No, I mean, one of the things that's happening here is that Chuck Schumer has gone out and raised a great deal of money. Now, a lot of people, certainly progressives, have concerns about how this money is raised, who actually pays the money, and what they expect in return for the money, because nobody gives money away just for the hell of it. Let's be real about this. But I do say that the Democratic Party, I think, has a much, much better record at separating campaign donations from interests, certainly from the public interest, than the Republicans do.
Well, they've raised a lot more money than the Republicans at this time heading towards the 2006 elections. Is that because that there's a disenchantment with Bush in the Republican ranks? Does that have something to do with it?
No, I think they're just cheap.
They're just cheap? And it's weird because the number, it says here, senators have given $2.6 million to the party commission committee through the first quarter of 2006 election cycle, and that doesn't even count the $1 million that Kerry kicked in, left over from his presidential kind of... Now, he actually did that. He actually pulled his wallet out and said, let's see, I got $1 million... Yeah, he's got that kind of money.
Yeah, well, his wife does.
But hey, $1 million. So if people keep kicking in at this point, they should be really filthy rich in terms and get ready for the 2006 senatorial elections, which would be great.
Well, see, let's look at where some of the most contested races are. Pennsylvania, for example, Rick Santorum.
Ooh.
Yeah, he sucks. Okay, let's be real about it. But Rick Santorum is running against this guy Casey down there, and Pennsylvania is a very large state, and as a result, it costs a lot of money to buy media. You can't buy media for Philadelphia and Pittsburgh simultaneously. You have to buy them at separate ends, and they're at varying, opposite ends of the state. So Pennsylvania is a very, very expensive city to try and, expensive state to try and run for elected office.
Very close race, too. It's very close.
Yeah, it's a very, very close race.
Because Santorum is creepy for a number of reasons.
Oh, for a number of reasons. But the DSCC can now kick in some of their money to help Casey beat Santorum in the state of Pennsylvania. That's what this money is being raised for.
Okay, so that, and they distribute it to where it's needed the most.
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
Yeah.
I hope Santorum goes down. I would. That's one of those things where it's like him and Rove, that I have such a large amount of personal hatred invested in them, that the schadenfreude of seeing either of them just, take a hit or be caught in bed with an animal. The excitement. Could you imagine how exciting that would be, despite any intellectual games you play with yourself or whatever thinking, just to have something really horrendous happen? I wouldn't even care if Karl Rove lost a leg. I wouldn't care.
Oh, now see, that's
I'm willing to stoop that low. I don't want him to die, but I'd like him to lose a leg in a sexual weird escapade. That would make me from with Rick Santorum. That exactly.
I'd like to see the two of them in the New York City subway system with a couple of backpacks and get profiled by the NYPD.
Oh, my God. I just had to think of my own little riff. Like, how do you lose a leg during sex? And, given the situation I set up, there's only one real way.
Yeah, I know. And it's disgusting.
Rick, my leg's in there. All right. Anyways. Hey.
He's going to hell.
You came down here. What'd you expect, an easy breakfast? I don't understand. This is a live show here. So when we come back, Freddie Johnson's going to play for us. It's very exciting. He's one of the great singer-songwriters. He's going to be right here at the T-Lounge. If you're out there driving around wondering what to do with 3 hours and you're not carrying a gun, why don't you come by? We're at 837 Union Street. You go to TLoungeNY.com.
Yeah.
It's 45 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Edition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Air America Radio.
Here we go. It's Morning Sedition live. We're broadcasting for the T-Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn. That's 837 Union Street, T-Lounge, N-Y.com. Comedy.com on Union Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. We're giving away complimentary six-month subscriptions to Film Movement, the DVD of the Month Club for independent foreign films. I'm Mark Maron. Of course, that's my friend Mark Riley.
Hey.
And standing right here to my left, here we go. Our next guest is playing live at the Living Room, 154 Ludlow Street between Stanton and Rivington on Tuesday, July 26th. He's also playing at Turning Point in Piermont, New York, on Thursday, August 11th. Please welcome singer-songwriter Freddy Johnson to the T-Lounge. How are you?
Good morning.
So Freddy, let's talk for a minute.
I'm playing live on the street outside my apartment every day.
There you go.
Where have you been, man? I mean, I remember I haven't seen you in a while. You've been working. What have you been up to?
Working, yeah.
Doing the singer-songwriter thing?
Got married, got a dog.
Oh, congratulations. Ah. Yeah, how long have you been married?
No, I mean, I have a dog and I'm married.
There you go.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, okay. That's
good. No, I mean, that came out wrong.
Yeah, no, it came out all right. You know, we cleared it up. So how long have you been married?
Coming up on 2 years soon.
Yeah, how's that going? Is it all right?
Great.
Yeah, I'm coming up on 2 years. Well, I just got through one. These are the good years.
It's fantastic. They're all good years. The tender years.
The tender years. I screwed one up at three last time. I'm hoping I can get past three this time. It happens.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you tour a lot?
I'm on the road a lot, you know, working on finishing the record.
I didn't realize you were from Kansas, and you live down where? You live in the city now.
Live in the city. Yeah, I moved here a couple decades ago. But I am from Kansas.
Do you ever go back to Kansas?
I go back a lot, yeah.
You have family there?
A lot means Christmas.
we got a writer on the show who's got family in the Midwest. Is there political tension in your family when you got home?
No, my family we're all red staters. So, I mean, you know, we're
blue staters and red states.
I don't know the colors. No, we're all Democrats, is what I mean.
Oh, so are they pissed off? Do they feel surrounded in Kansas?
Yeah, well, they've kind of moved away from they've moved toward urban areas, you know, such as they are.
We've got to go.
Yeah,
they're
gotta
coming
go
after us. The strange religious people.
Kind of, yeah. That's.
So you got a new song for us?
I have a new song. Yeah, it's not political.
You don't have to be political.
You know.
So here we go, Freddy Johnson.
Okay. You know I wake up, it's first light. Been sleeping in my chair all night. Just then, on time, she walks in like everything's fine. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll never be alone with her. Don't give your heart to a lonely one, 'cause you'll always where she's gone. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll spend your nights waiting up for her. I'd like to make her my wife, but she's never here enough to reply. I should say goodbye. Believe me, I've tried and tried and tried. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll never be alone with her. Don't give your heart to a lonely one, 'cause you'll always want where she's gone. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll spend your nights waiting up for her. In the daytime she's like a mannequin, she cares Don't give your heart to a lonely woman, 'cause you always wonder where she's gone. Don't fall in love with a lonely girl, 'cause you'll spend your nights waiting up for her.
And the name of that song was?
Don't Fall in Love with a Lonely Girl.
That's a pretty song. Very touching. Hey, you write good pop songs, man. Who are your main influences?
But I don't know the difference between red and blue.
No, no. It confuses all of us. They're stupid labels that mean nothing.
I guess so. But I always see the president wearing a red tie.
Yeah, there you go. So that should be just remember that. And you'll exactly. And you'll have the color code thing all figured out. So who are your big influences? Because, you know, you do a type of pop songwriting that is very unique. Are you like a Beatles fan? Or?
Yeah, big Beatles fan. You know, the usual influences. I'm a big Neil Young fan and Tom Petty.
Tom Petty's great.
Absolutely.
I just got an iPod, and I hadn't had one before, and now now I have a second job.
Right.
And that's loading my iPod.
Right.
But the good thing about that is I get to go through my entire life's worth of music and just sort of reintroduce myself to it. And Petty is like, great.
It's amazing, isn't it? How many songs?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That you know by heart and you don't realize it.
Do you play? What's going on with you? Do you want to? I realized I got my back turned, and I'm like, is Riley?
I'm doing great. I know we got to take a break in a second, but I know that for a lot of people, bad reputation is defined you. I mean, that's song.
Fine. Hey, at least there's one song.
Yeah.
You're comfortable with that, though. It doesn't trouble
you. Know. No, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm, like I say, you know, at least they know one song.
Yeah.
And, that's a normal, it's a normal status for a guy like me. But I keep doing it.
And when you record this album, you can do it with a band, or you can do it with just a guitar?
Yeah, it's a band record.
Oh, great. So we'll talk to Freedy a little more. He's going to be hanging out all morning. We are here at the Tea Lounge in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's Morning Sedition Live with Mark Maron and Mark Riley. That's me and Mark. Come on down. We're at 837 Union Street. It's 57 past the hour. Good morning.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Six past the hour, it's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn at 837 Union Street. TLoungeNY.com. We're giving away complimentary 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement and coffee. And we've got Jaimin Hanzu is going to be here in just a little while. Freddie Johnson's hanging out.
Yeah.
It's a little party down here. Jaimin Hanzu, he's the actor, if you don't know, he was in Amistad.
Yes.
He was in Gladiator.
In America, I believe.
In America, yeah. He was. He played the artist that's sick, and he was great. He's a great actor, and he's going to be sitting right here in a matter of moments. So if you want to come down and at least see him, you can come down. We're at the 837 Union Street between 6th and 7th Avenues in Park Slope, Brooklyn. What else have I got here to tell you? Oh, yeah, okay. Air America's launched a petition demanding that President Bush fire Karl Rove. Go to airamericaradio.com/Rove. airamericaradio.com/Rove to sign the petition. And things in London, apparently there's been a man, witnesses say, that was shot and killed.
Yes. Now, they're not...
Thank you for confirming that.
Yes. No, there are unconfirmed reports that the police thought he was a suicide bomber. The police were the ones that shot him. Now, again, a witness said that he was shot and killed. This was at the Stockwell tube station in London.
And if you're not up on exactly what happened there yesterday, there were 4 explosions yesterday in London, 3 in the tube, 1 on a bus. Apparently, every bomb that was an attempted suicide blast, but all of the bombs were duds. and they just they went off with the effect of a loud firecracker. There was smoke apparently on the bus, and witnesses saw the guys with the backpacks running away. Some of them left their backpacks behind, which has led police to say that they might have some real clues as to who's involved in this and if it's the same group that did the horrendous July 7th bombings there in London.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, yesterday I believe the police had actually surrounded or gone into University College Hospital in London, I think believing that one of the people who was injured, who was allegedly one of the bombers, had gone to the hospital, but apparently nothing came of that.
And here in New York, if you live in New York, and you'll know that if you take the subway, you go down there, there are cops there. It doesn't mean that something is horribly wrong or that there's a problem, not as I know of this morning, but they're going to be searching people randomly as they do at the airport. And apparently, according to Ray Kelly, they're not going to be racially profiling people, but if you do clench your fist or sweat profusely, they might profile you for that reason. If you smell like you have too much cologne on, that might be an issue. And please don't pray out loud on the train, because that always draws attention.
Yeah, so go easy on the patchouli. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, if you're a religious person praying out loud who sweats, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not racial profiling. That's nonspecific. But if I'm assuming if you're a Muslim person chanting out loud and you're religious and you're sweating profusely, I can bet you that you will be
hurt. Yeah, you'll have a conversation with law enforcement.
So, but the reason it's interesting, the reason why they are going to look for people with clenched fists, and this is according to a new police memo, is because suicide bombers have used hand-triggered devices.
Yeah.
So it's not just because you're like, clenching your fist because you're pissed off. It's literally because they've seen in other events, witnesses in the London bombing, saw people triggering things with their hands. Yeah. And, of course, the patting down of the clothes stems from the behavior of a suicide bomber going, wait, do I have my... Yeah, I got my bomb. I got it. And, of course, the wearing too much cologne apparently is to cover up the smell of explosives, which I wouldn't even know what the hell they smelled like. Would you, Riley?
No, I wouldn't know exactly what explosives smell like.
But if it's patchouli, it's covering up something else. And, again, this is a warning to those of you who have gotten accustomed to using the train for weed sales.
Yeah.
Going to have to go back to the bikes
you
for a while.
You entrepreneurs, beware. Mind your rucksacks as they stay in London.
And as I said before, one of the big things that's going to happen is the number of people saying, oh, I left my thing at the house, is going to go up. Because you do have a choice, apparently, when you're being searched to not be searched. Don't run away. Just try to turn and go back up the stairs before the cop sees you. How would that be?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just a heads up for people in New York.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, yes.
We have a listener here who's got something he wants to say, sir. Can you tell us your name and where you're from?
Yeah, this is Ted from Nebraska.
Oh, no.
Why is it that the liberals can't let this Roe thing just go? I mean, really.
Oh, no, it's happening. Oh, no. I hate when this... Help me, Riley. Oh, my God. Oh, no. It's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no.
Live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservatives' way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocon. Mark the Shark is live and he's taking your questions. Losers, step right up and get sharp. Hey, all right. Hey, what do you want?
Hey, Mark the Shark.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about Karl Rove leaking Valerie Plame's name?
No, why don't you talk about Karl Rove leaking Valerie Plame's name? Because America doesn't care. That's why, you liberal retard. Nice shirt, idiot. Hey, genius, why don't we talk about Bill Clinton? There's a topic. How about Clinton? Clinton. He's still out there. God only knows what that animal could be doing.
Yeah.
What? Shut up. Just shut up. Shut up, buddy. It's my turn. My show. All you liberals do is talk, that and kill babies.
I
can't hear you. Pull your face out of the carpet, Ellen.
But I'm a guy.
Prove it, loser.
Boring.
Who's next? Step into the shark cake, mister.
Hello, Mark the Shark?
Yeah.
I've been listening to your program, and I don't hear any real substantial discussions of the issues.
What?
It seems like mostly just shouting and sophomoric sound effects.
Well, all right. Well, first of all, thank you for your question. Of course, content is often defined by the medium, so after a careful consideration, I guess my answer to you would be... or to put it another way, hey, how do you like that? Sit down, Chomsky. Who's next?
Hey, Mark the Shark. Love your show.
Shut up, ass kisser, and spit it out.
Okay, man. Why do those damn Democrats always get in the way of everything?
Yeah.
Like Social Security and the courts.
Yeah.
Kill.
Yeah.
Kill.
Yeah.
Kill.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Okay, there's your discussion of the issues, Fancy Pants. How do you like that? Stick around, Neil Kahn. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Good dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
Oh, man, what just happened?
Are you okay, man?
I don't know what happened. Why do people just sit around when I black out like that and they don't do anything? They don't help me.
Well,
you know what I mean?
We could call an ambulance.
Yeah, you should call the ambulance. It's like, why don't I get possessed by this weird thing? Man.
Yeah, but I don't feel like doing Fridays by myself.
Let me ask you a question. Let's be honest about this, because I want to talk a little bit more about police searching people in the trains here in New York City as a reaction to the London bombings. And there's part of me, Riley, aside from, you know, being part, I'm split on it, because the ACLU, you shouldn't be searched, and I agree with that. It is an intrusion. It is an invasion of privacy. It is not a good thing for society. But on some level, there's part of me that says this might actually deter somebody that could be wanting to do this. Is that possible?
I don't know if it will deter anybody. I do know this. A uniformed police presence in the trains will make anyone a little bit slow to do things that they would, that they might normally do of an illegal nature, whatever that is.
You know what's weird, though? Like, after 9/11 in the city, when the National Guard guys were in the stations and everywhere else, I was more afraid of them. I there was a moment where I'm like, that kid shouldn't have a gun. They're like 12.
Well, you know? Yeah, and it looks like, you know, when the National Guard, they all cradled the M16s different ways, and I'm thinking, this thing is going to go off and somebody's going to get killed here.
Cradle it. The one that was singing to it was the one that scared me.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the gun.
Yeah. Yep. But I'm telling you, when you see this kind of thing going on, it is always a balance between civil liberties and the need for security.
Absolutely. I don't know, because it freaks me out, but we've gotten so used to them searching us or them the presence of, like, at the airport. I wonder if that's a concession that we're making mentally that is dangerous, that will make us, you know, so prone to just tap into that fear center that will do anything. It is a delicate balance. So Freddie Johnson is still with us. He's going to play us out of our segments here. We're going to be back. We're going to have, in a little while, we're going to have food critic Arthur Schwartz, because I love to talk about food. It's 15 past the hour. We're at Tea Lounge on Union Street in Brooklyn. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. It's Morning Sedition, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
It's 20 past the hour. We're broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn at 837 Union Street. It's been great here, Riley. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. We got Freddie Johnson on guitar playing us in and out of breaks. We got Jaimin Hanzu will be by to talk about the new film, The Island. I got to ask him about Gladiator. You know, Gladiator is my wife's favorite movie.
Uh-oh.
It's weird. My wife could watch Gladiator every morning just to start her day. I don't know. Yeah, she likes that and Megadeth. What do I do?
Gladiator, Megadeth.
Yeah, that's her trip. What can I tell you? Air America has launched a petition demanding that President Bush fire Karl Rove. Go to airamericaradio.com/Rove to sign the petition, just to make yourself feel better, if anything. I will be at Gotham Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night if you want to come down and see me flounder around on stage trying to write new material, which is always a great time. Come watch me tank, would you? That'd be great this weekend. You know, you got to do it. Right now, what do we got right now? Oh, yeah, here we go. There's a lot of big stories in the news here. By the way, we've got the food critic, New York City food critic Arthur Schwartz coming up.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of big stories out there in the news this week, so it's time to get some bets down with our own Inside the Beltway odds maker, Johnny K Street.
Nice to be back in Brooklyn, baby.
Yeah, look at this guy's got the bling going. What do you? You look different today. What's with the tracksuit there, killer?
You'd be surprised how many people try to run away from me, Mark.
Johnny, you ever
they can
get
run,
out?
But they can't hide. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man. So you ever get out of the city? You going on vacation at all? What's up?
Yeah, I got a nice little cottage right next to Martha Stewart's place. We get together every Sunday and bake cookies. What the hell are you talking about? I want to get out of the city. I go to the track. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, Johnny, what is that? A big diamond dollar sign hanging off that chain around your neck? Is that thing real?
Everything about Johnny K is real, baby. I keep it real, like the kids say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, if it's real, that must have cost a fortune.
I got a good deal on it. Let's just say 50 Cent and I are even now.
What kind of action are we looking at today, Johnny?
Oh, I got Supreme Court action,
all
baby.
Right, all right. What do you got?
Bush finally picked a nominee for the Supreme Court, John Roberts.
Yeah.
Why did he pick him now? The heat he's getting from Karl Rove, he would have picked Julia Roberts just to take the heat off.
Yeah.
We'll get to Rove in a minute.
All right. What else? What do you got?
No one knows anything about John Roberts.
Okay.
Except he's, anti-choice.
Okay.
But I got a funny feeling we're going to be going through his background.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're going to find out a few things about him.
Uh-huh.
I got a couple of things we might find out about John Roberts in the next few weeks. So get your money down!
You got pictures or something?
Oh, I got pictures.
So okay.
500 to 1 in the 90s, Roberts was a steady customer of Heidi Fleiss.
Oh.
He even dated her for a while, knocked her up, and paid for an abortion.
Oh, all right. I got a C note for their sure on that one, buddy.
Yeah, me too.
I got your Roe v. Wave right here, all right?
So we're down, buddy.
Beautiful. While I was in college, Roberts took a job as a gay stripper under the name Snake Plissken.
Snake Plissken?
That's getting off at 100 to 1, all right, so to speak.
I'll put a yard on that one, Johnny.
Yeah, that all creeps right. me out, but I'll put 500 on it.
Money talks, baby. 100 to 1 last month, Roberts took a vacation to the Bahamas, paid for by Jack Abramoff.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. While he was there, a desk clerk wouldn't put through a call for him, so he beat him unconscious with a house phone. You know, so...
All right, I've got 5 large on that one. It sounds good there, Johnny.
Yeah, 5 sounds good.
All right, no problem. You're all the way down. Okay, 100 to 1. He's more addicted to OxyContin than Rush Limbaugh, all right? Rush Limbaugh drove him to rehab. That's how addicted he is.
Oh, my God. If this is all true, I'll put a C note on that, too, Johnny.
Johnny, but I say yes. Put me down for 5.
I like the way you think. Okay, let's get crazy.
All right, let's get crazy.
Here's the long shot. 1001, Roberts used to have kids over to his ranch, get them drunk on what he called Jesus juice, and watch porn with them. Oh, wait a minute. That's Michael Jackson. No, I was wrong. That's John Roberts. All right.
Put me down for another 50.
50?
Yeah, all right.
50. It sounds solid to me, man. Put me down for 5 large.
Oh, 5 large. There you go. There's a man who wants to make
some money.
Some
money bags over here.
Start picking up property in the Hamptons, Riley. You know what I'm saying? 500 to 1 in the next few weeks, a woman will claim she has a tape of her having sex with John Roberts, Colin Farrell, Jeff Gannon, and Karl Rove.
I'm down for a yard on that.
It's not a tape you want to see, my friend, but I could get it for you in DVD. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I want that same yard, actually.
I want the tape.
Speaking of Karl Rove, here's my bet of the week.
Yeah.
100 to 1, Bin Laden will release a video. At the end of it, I'll do a shout-out to Karl Rove for treasonous acts against America. Bush will ignore it and say we're in the middle of an investigation. That's it for me. I got to get to court. Thanks a lot, Brooklyn. All right.
Be careful there, Johnny. Johnny K Street going all out with the outfit there, huh?
Yeah, man.
How do you like that?
Oh, he looked like he borrowed it from Al Sharpton. The old days.
Oh, the old Al Sharpton. So what, did we get some new information from London on that? There was a guy was actually shot and killed by the police
in the Stockwell train station in London.
Yeah. So I think they think that he's part of the ring, or you know, obviously we're gonna get some details on that. We got Freddie Johnson still with us here. We're down here at broadcasting at the T Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn. If you'd like to come down, we are at 837 Union Street between 6th and 7th Avenues in Park Slope. The reason I say that like that is last time when we were over at the bookstore,
yeah,
I got people walking in at like 5 to 9, sweating, going, "What? Why the hell did you just give the address?" Don't just say the street, it's a long street. Well, I didn't expect somebody would be walking up and down the entire street looking for it, but this is 837 Union Street, T-Lounge n-y.com. If you want to look for that, we're giving away complimentary 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement, the DVD of the Month Club for independent and foreign films, the DVDs including the feature and the bonus short film, and those are for you to own. For information, call or go visit call. Yeah, call www.filmmovement.com. Try that. And yeah, while you're at it, we're on Union Street somewhere.
The big 837. Now, you know, Mark, coming up, we got something that's near and dear to your heart. Food!
Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at
New York food. And I know everybody in our audience knows
Arthur
what
Schwartz,
we're talking
about. New York City food critic. Look at this big, beautiful book. Can you see that out there in your cars? Yeah. It's got recipes. I have this weird habit when we're in a live audience. Look at this. Look at this. But Arthur Schwartz will be here momentarily to talk about food, which is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
We are at the T Lounge. That's Freddy Johnson on guitar. We'll talk to you in a second with Arthur Schwartz. You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Before past the hour, we're broadcasting live from the T Lounge, 837 Union Street here in Park Slope, Brooklyn. We're giving away coffee. We got Freddy Johnson on guitar. We got that actor Jaimin Hanzu's coming down. It's all happening right here, Mark Riley. And sitting right in front of me is one of New York's preeminent food critics. He was the host of Food Talk on WOR for 12 years. Earlier this year, his book, this huge book right here, this tome, which is a beautiful book, by the way, Arthur.
Thank you.
Very nice. Arthur Schwartz's New York City Food, an Opinionated History, and more than 100 legendary recipes is available. And it was also won Cookbook of the Year Award. Arthur Schwartz, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome to my neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for coming down.
I was going to come in my pajamas, but then I heard you had a live audience.
What, you live literally right around the corner?
I literally around the corner.
So you have a job that I envy. I wish I could have your
job. You know, if you had it, you might feel differently.
Why is that? How could it be bad? You walk into a restaurant, they're like, oh, can we give you anything you want? Cook the best we can?
That's not how it works.
No, come on.
I am actually, I used to be called the Schwartz who ate New York, as you can tell by my...
The Schwartz who ate New York.
Yes,
my body. You were the terror of food critics?
But, you know, most of the time you're eating bad food. They don't know who you are. You're paying your own bill. It's just as annoying as when you're a regular civilian.
You just shattered my dream for my future when I lose this job.
Now that I'm not on the radio anymore,
yeah,
and I do write restaurant reviews for Brooklyn Magazine. We do have our own magazine here.
Is Brooklyn starting to come?
Yay, Brooklyn Magazine.
Is Brooklyn starting to come up in the food world? No.
Oh, it came up already.
Oh, really? So it's done?
No. It's not done, but I'm going to tell you, we're about 2 blocks from the epicenter of the gastronomic revolution in Brooklyn.
Really?
Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn. I can't even keep up anymore. It's like a new restaurant every week.
What's going on down there? What do you got?
Well, the latest thing is Brooklyn Fish Camp, which is a branch of Mary's Fish Camp in Manhattan.
Okay.
And you couldn't get into this place from the day it opened.
And what is it, just fish?
It's, don't say it that way, just fish.
I mean, what's a fish camp?
It's not just fish.
All I eat is fish.
Well,
now
they're famous for their lobster roll.
And okay.
They're getting $23 for a lobster roll.
$23?
On Fifth Avenue, where there used to be a bodega six months ago.
You're really selling this place, Arthur.
No, it's terrific.
Go down and get some overpriced fish around the corner.
Not overpriced.
Okay,
I'm just saying that this neighborhood has... You know, change.
Okay. What else? So
no more bodegas. Now we get $23 lobster rolls.
Well, now
so what else can you eat there? This is a novelty item.
Okay.
You like skate?
Skate. You, it's a little.
Ray.
It's got the weird bone in it, but I don't mind it. Yeah.
Well, here they're
tastes kind of scallopy.
You might say because it's got a little gelatinous texture.
Okay, I'll go with you on that.
Yeah.
I don't want to argue with you.
No. I never thought of it, but you're right. Okay. There's a similarity there. They both have that.
I'm getting the job.
Very good observation.
Thank you.
Anyway, here they're frying them whole on the bone. It really is delicious.
Can you watch that? They just pull a skate out of it. You see the...
No, you got to go to Chinatown for that. But, you know, Brooklyn has two Chinatowns of its own. Sunset Park is a huge Chinese community.
Yeah. Very large.
With a lot of Chinese groceries and restaurants, wonderful dumpling places.
They have a good Chinese seafood place? Because I come from California. I love those Chinese seafood places, the huge ones that they have out in Monterey Park area.
I've never been to Monterey Park, but Sunset Park, yes.
Different part
the place that I like there is Jade Plaza, and they do have big fish tanks with live fish, and you can say, I'll take that fish, and 5 minutes later it's on your plate with scallions and black beans.
Yeah, I love that.
Now, what about some of the traditional places in Brooklyn? At one time, Emmons Avenue used to be the epicenter of seafood in the entire Long Island area, as a matter of fact.
Well, Lundy's, of course.
And Lundy's,
Lundy's was it.
Should be writing this down.
Lundy's is a shadow of its former self. The building, of course, has been saved, at least. It's that beautiful Mission-style building.
What was the mobster that bought it at Lundy's? Wasn't there somebody that got shot?
Yes, but it wasn't a mobster. It's a very ugly story.
Let's get Johnny in there.
I'll tell you the end of the story. The end of the story was that the owner of Lundy's chauffeur was the bad guy in this and actually killed his niece and nephew.
Ooh.
And in the end, he became very paranoid, as well he should have been. You know, the old story, I'm not paranoid, they're really after me.
Yeah.
They were really after him. And he, with his Irish setters, hold himself up there and a rifle. And he thought they were coming, the bad guys were coming to get him, but it was actually the cops. And he started shooting at the cops.
So what, you're telling me this restaurant's not doing well anymore?
It closed soon after that.
Right, yeah.
But because the building had been landmarked by the City Landmark Commission, they couldn't do anything with it, and it became a white elephant. Finally, somebody went in there, reopened Lundy's in a portion, because Lundy's in its day was the largest restaurant in America, 2,200 seats.
What kind of food did they serve?
Seafood. Okay. Strictly seafood.
All right.
The Lundy family actually dates back to the mid-19th century. They were Germans. They came. They went into the fish business. And in those days, Brighton Beach, Coney Island, Sheepshead Bay were elegant resorts.
Yeah.
Sheepshead Bay was actually the horse racing capital of America. Anyway, the Lundy family sold fish to all these elegant hotels and restaurants that were there. And not so many restaurants, just hotels. But anyway, they eventually went into the restaurant business. But nowadays, it's like a Turkish cafe in there, and there's a boutique a mall. And I mean, they've just reused the building in terrible ways. But Sheepshead Bay is booming. There's a new Greek restaurant called Yasu on Emmons Avenue.
I'm just fascinated how we got from a mob killing. Like
it wasn't the mob.
Yeah, it wasn't a mob.
But the whole segment was just beautiful because we're talking about, yay, fish, and then he killed his family. But I appreciate that. So Sheepshead Bay.
Sheepshead Bay is coming back because the Russian community, Brighton Beach, as they've gotten more affluent, they've moved over into the nicer neighborhood of Sheepshead Bay, Manhattan Beach, and there are all these new places opening that cater to a rather affluent Russian community.
In your experience here in New York City, what are some of the worst experiences you've had at restaurants, just so I know not to go to those restaurants?
Let me just say this. Lundy's is one of them, so don't go to Lundy's.
Have you ever been forced to say, don't you know who I am?
I did say to a restaurateur, don't you know what everything you say could be quoted in the newspaper? Uh-huh. This is when I was the restaurant critic at the Daily News. And he said yes, and I did, and he was not happy. And on the radio, though, this was interesting. Somebody who I admire greatly had a policy. This is at the River Cafe here in Brooklyn. His name is Buzzy O'Keefe. He's a great restaurateur. And Buzzy was on my radio show. And, you know, we know each other from way back when. And although, you know, you go to his restaurant, they wouldn't know me because he's never there. Anyway, I asked him, why is it that you can't reserve a table by the window at the River Cafe, which has this beautiful view of the Manhattan skyline?
Yeah.
And he said, well, we don't know what you look like until you walk in the restaurant. Anyway, he regretted having said that, and he called me from the car afterwards. He said, can you edit that out?
Please. Free food for
you. But that's a policy a lot of restaurateurs have. In other words, they want the most attractive people or the most powerful people at the most visible tables. So they place people according to that. If you're ugly, you go back in the rear corner.
That's
next to the bathroom.
Yeah.
The ugly seats.
Yeah.
Do they give you bigger portions?
Yeah. So it's a good reason to... they might make up for it for that
Please,
way.
Please, give him a free appetizer of the sad, fat, ugly man in the back. Yeah. So
My father's one of these guys, comes from a generation of, he was from New Jersey, but there's people in this world that, I'm trying to, it's taking me, there are people in this world that think that the perfect egg cream is the it's like the grail. Now
it is.
Wait, but you know, a guy like me, I'm younger, not much younger than you, I don't think, but I was not brought up with that experience of an egg cream. And you talk to these like guys like my father, like, oh God, you gotta have an egg cream.
But
and
you know,
you got a chapter in your book about it, right?
I do, because egg creams are very important. The thing
what do I know?
I agree with your father. The thing about egg creams is that now you got to go out of your way to get an egg cream. In the old days, you know, there was a candy store every other corner, and you just stopped for an egg cream. You know, it was a pit stop drink.
Like one of those counter candy stores with they had model planes and a luncheonette and candy and gum and newspapers.
Right, lunch. Yeah. They called themselves luncheonette, but the lunch was hardly what it was about. It was about egg creams and the newspaper and meeting the people in the neighborhood. I once ran away from home when I was about 7 years old. Where did I run? I ran to the corner candy store.
And you had an egg cream. So what is an egg cream? It doesn't even have eggs.
No, it doesn't have eggs. It doesn't even have cream.
Yeah. Maybe they should change the name and reinvent it. Am I wrong?
There are a lot of stories why it's called egg cream, but I don't believe any of them. Nobody has any idea. But it's chocolate syrup. It's basically chocolate milk with seltzer. It's a chocolate soda with milk. You could look at it that way.
Yeah. See, like you're telling me that right now, and I'm not going, ooh. You know what I mean?
You have to have grown up with it. It's like anything. You know, if you grow up with it, it's yours for life.
Okay.
My name is Schwartz, but I gravitate to Italian food because I'm sure my first solid food was from the people who lived downstairs, and it was macaroni with tomato sauce, you know, so.
What does that mean? Your parents were starving you because they were Jewish?
No, it means everything.
It
means that we eat disgusting things when we're kids, and then we love it when we're adults. I'll give you an example.
Have some kishka.
Hawaii loves Spam.
Yeah.
We think it's a joke,
right? They also love the poi. Poi is a
soul food, you know?
I don't want to alienate our Hawaiian listeners, but man,
how many Hawaiian listeners do you have?
A lot. Sure. Yes.
There's two
lesbians who own a bakery, all right? And they're very important to us. But when I was presented with poi, and they're like, you got to get used to this, I had one bite and said, you know what? I don't have to get used to this ever.
I totally agree with you.
It's horrible.
It's one of the few foods I won't eat.
But the egg cream, can you get one? Before we go, can you tell us, can we get one?
Yes, on the corner of in Manhattan, on 2nd Avenue and St. Mark's Place, one of the original Louis Oster candies. So Louis Oster is credited with inventing the egg cream in about 1905.
I know what that is. Right,
it's called the Gem Spa.
Yeah.
And it's actually now owned by Pakistanis, as all newsstands in New York are. But they still make a great egg cream.
Okay, well, I'm going
to
go there.
And then you don't have to, you know, it's just a pit stop. 2nd Avenue in St. Mark's, you tell the cab to pull over or you for 2 minutes, and you run in and you get an egg cream.
And you say,
With a pretzel stick.
Oh, you got to get a pretzel stick?
Yeah, and make sure you pick a salty one.
You're making this up.
No, he's not.
No.
You got to have a pretzel stick
and an egg cream. It goes together.
All right, I'm going to do that on your recommendation.
Stanley Oster, the grandson of the inventor of the egg cream, is still alive. He lives in the Bronx.
Okay.
And I called him to talk about egg creams. He says, I can't talk about egg creams. I've got heart problems. And his wife in the background is yelling, Louis, talk about egg creams instead of yourself. Maybe you'll feel better.
Arthur Schwartz, thank you very much for being with
us. Thank you, Arthur.
Freddie Johnson's going to play us out. New York City food, an opinionated history, and more than 100 legendary recipes. It was great talking to you. We'll be back with another song from Freddie. Stay with us. 46 past the hour. Morning Tradition, Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Is it possible for you to shut the f*** up for 10 seconds?
Morning Tradition on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, 51 actually. There you go. We're coming to you live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn at 837 Union Street. Got a full house here now. There's still some room though in the back. We're giving away free coffee. We got actor Jaimin Hansu who's going to come down. Lawton Smalls apparently back from Iraq. Haven't seen him yet. Supposed to show today. We're giving away complimentary 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement. This is exciting, Riley. I like being out in the world.
Me too, man.
We got Freddy Johnson right here. Johnston. Sorry, my friend. That must happen a lot.
Yeah, all the time.
I get my name couldn't be spelled more properly. Marin, M-A-R-O-N. I get Moron, Marin. Moron, very funny, of course, Moron. Hilarious. Always a little geniuses, my whole life. Hey, Mark Moron. Oh, you get a ribbon. You're a genius. Okay, so we're going to do some more songs in just a second, but you've done some songs with the Farrelly Brothers for their films?
Yes, Kingpin.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you know those guys? Because they like singer-songwriters. They use Jonathan Richmond in like all his movies.
Yeah. Yeah, they're big into Jonathan.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you know Jonathan Richmond?
I have not met him.
Is he an inspiration to you in any way?
Absolutely. I love him.
Yeah, he's funny, right? He's a good songwriter.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Modern Lovers. About Jonathan.
Yeah, important record. So I'm glad we're having this moment. They don't seem to care.
They don't seem to care. That's okay. Go out and look up Jonathan Richmond.
Yeah, so now, do you ever perform out with a band? I mean, when you go out, are you doing the guitar thing? If you have a band,
I've played. I played with a band before.
Yeah,
but it's been a while. I'm playing these living room shows on Tuesdays with a band. Now,
okay,
mostly with a band.
Are you still working with Butch Vig and the Garbage People?
Yeah, we have a side project called the Know It All Boyfriends. That's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
It's been a cover band, you know.
You just do cover songs?
We do just cover songs. Well, we've written one song.
Now, Garbage just came out with another album. Butch Vig's a big producer. He did one of Nirvana's albums, right?
Yeah, he did the big Nirvana record.
Isn't it hard to hang out with people that have millions of dollars? I mean,
not really. They pick up the check usually. It's not so bad. I don't borrow money. Like,
okay, I admit
I'm
just a jealous, spiteful idiot. So which song do you want to play now? What do you got going?
You got me going. I don't know.
did I get some bitterness?
No. I was just thinking about my checking account. That's all.
It's gonna be fine, Brady.
It's gonna be fine.
What song we got now?
I don't know. You know, I'll play this song because it's the song that the coffee drinkers probably know. So this song goes out to Pathmark. Everybody, Pathmark. So I've heard it a lot.
I know I got a bad reputation, and it isn't just talk, talk, talk. And still I'm gonna give you everything that I haven't gone. I couldn't have one conversation if it wasn't for the lies, lies, lies. And still I'm gonna give you everything. For you close your eyes, suddenly I'm on the street. 7 years disappear below. Do you want me now? Do you want me now? Suddenly I'm down in Herald Square, looking in the crowd, your face is everywhere. Just turning around. Do you want me now? Do you want me now? Just wasting your time, time, time. You know about the best I ever did. I see it in your eyes. Yeah, I know I got a bad reputation. I wish it wasn't just talk, talk, talk. And still I'm gonna give you everything that I haven't got. Suddenly I'm on the street. 7 years disappear below my feet. Been breaking down. Do you want me now? Do you want me now? Suddenly I'm in another place. Looking in the crowd, I think I see your face. Just turning around. Do you want me now?
you think I've heard the talk? Nobody's gonna tell me who to love. Been breaking down. Do you want me now? Do you want me now? Suddenly I'm down in Herald Square. Looking in the crowd, your face is everywhere. Just turning around. Do you want me now? Do you want me now? I've been breaking down, down, down.
You're listening to Free Johnson. It's Morning Sedition coming to you live from the Union Tea Lounge here on Union Street between 6th and 7th Avenue. He's playing at the Living Room every Tuesday, 154 Ludlow Street. Stay with us. We're going to come back. We're going to have Jaimin Hanzu. We're going to have Lawton Smalls. And I think Rachel Maddow is going to stop by.
Yeah.
Me and Riley are here. It's Morning Sedition. It's 57 past the hour on Air America Radio. Thanks, Freedy.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Six past the hour, Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo!
We're broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn at 837 Union Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. I want to make sure I tell you that, where it is. Come on down. We got Jaimin Hanzu is going to be here from the new film, The Island. You also know him from Gladiator, from
In America.
That was a good movie. Also, we've got the Cardinal Milfington is going to be here momentarily.
Uh-oh.
We've got Rachel Maddow is going to come by in a little while.
Yeah.
From Air America Radio's The Rachel Maddow Show to get us up to speed on what's going on in England. She'll be here in a little bit.
Yeah.
We do have some reports that responsibility has been taken for the dud bombs of yesterday, and it is the same group that undertook or claimed to have done the bombings on July 7th.
Yeah, the secret organization of Al-Qaeda in Europe, not as secret as they were 2 weeks ago. I assume that Scotland Yard is hot on their tail.
Yeah, and we do have confirmation that police shot and killed a guy at the Stockwell Tube Station.
Stockwell Tube Station, yes, in London.
We don't exactly know what that's about. Perhaps Rachel will brief us when she comes. But as most of you know, what happened in London yesterday is that four explosions went off, but they didn't go off as badly as they could have. Apparently, these four bombs all had the same problem, thank God. Just the triggers, the detonators popped, but the bombs didn't explode. Witnesses saw the bombers fleeing from the scene. The assumption is that one of these guys, the guy that was shot today, had something to do with that. And, you know, it has triggered a whole series of events here in New York City, whereas I went down to the train station yesterday. There are now cops at the train stations. They are searching people at random. I didn't get searched, and there's part of me that, you know, that I it hurts my feelings when they don't search me. If I'm at the airport and I'm like, what, I'm not scary enough? Don't I have that edge?
It's not that.
What?
Wait, that's Mark Maron. We don't have to search him.
I wish that was the case. But if they said, that's Mark Maron, they'd be like, let's search him. He's on that network.
They figure you just find scallops in your pocket for Marino.
You know, you know what frightens me, Riley, is I'm just getting old, is what it is. It's like I think
I already am old, so I'm already where you're about to be.
I still think I'm this, you know, this is sort of like this young, vital, kind of on the edge kind of guy. But people look at me and they're like, "Hey, look at the guy trying to be young. Look at that."
Wait till they start calling you sir all the time.
Well, you want
that table over there, sir?
Dude, Mr. Maron gets me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, they go, Mr. Maron. I'm like, no, please, please.
Yeah, the worst is yet to come. Trust me. When they start calling you Pops, then you're in real trouble.
I know what you're saying, Pops. I had to. You set me up for that one.
I know.
But listen, if you are traveling on the subway here in Manhattan, they are actually looking for people. They say they're not racially profiling, but, you know, this is the way this works, and I've said this before. The reason that they search everybody, the reason they make it random, is because it actually is a sort of democratic thing to do. It's so that the people they are racially profiling don't get uncomfortable.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So they search everybody, and you're like, yeah, I know you got to do this because of that guy. But, you know, but whether or not it will actually be a deterrent, I don't know. I seem to think in my heart that it will a little bit because, obviously,
you know, we do have an extremist Muslim community somewhere in New York. I believe that to be true. I hope to God someone isn't planning something. But I do think that a police presence, if they don't take advantage of it, will do something to deter that.
Well, see, here's my question. What happens if they do run across a guy, God forbid, with a bomb in his backpack? What do they do?
They go,
you're under arrest?
Get down! I don't know what...
What do they do?
What do you mean? They stop him from getting on the train, I would hope.
What do you mean stop him? He's already in the train station.
Yeah, but that's not on the train.
It doesn't matter. If people are waiting for the train, they're going to get blown up.
So you're saying, you know what, just let him through. And let's just,
no,
let's just
I'm
go.
Not saying just let him through. I'm just saying searching them like this, unless they've got some very specific intelligence, is not, I don't think it's going to stop somebody that's determined to do some damage.
Okay, all right. I agree with that. But let's say, you know, given that we assume that there's a, you know, there's a decent intelligence going on, there's decent intelligence in London as well, there must have been. There's even, you know, word that Karl Rove, outside of leaking this, also sort of stood in the way of a terrorist investigation years ago when they outed that guy, the hacker.
Oh, yeah, remember? Yeah.
That there are obviously ongoing investigations going on. And
the Egyptian guy you're talking about.
But I guess what we're trying to get at is the pot dealers are going to take a hit on this one. And if
Now that's a deterrent.
Apparently, if you are going down into the subway and you don't want to be searched, you can say, you know, I'm not comfortable with this. But it's best just to turn and run, I think. And there's a lot of pot dealers that have made the switch to bikes. Well, guess what, kids? It's back on the train. It's back on. You know, they made the switch to the train. Well, it's back on the bikes. And here's what they're going to be looking for, and then we'll do the cardinal. They're going to be looking for people perspiring profusely, people for avoiding eye contact. They're going to be looking for you, mumbling or chanting's bad, wearing clothes unsuitable for the time of the year. I hope they don't, bust that crazy guy that sings on.
Well, that's the thing. There's so many people in New York that wear this kind of thing, not because they're terrorists, but because they just. A little different than the rest.
Well, there's a guy that sometimes I see in Queens who I've really grown. I have a lot of affection for this guy.
You won't be seeing him anymore.
No, he wears a parka and he's crazy.
He's locked up.
Well, he's like he's wrong, and he rocks his arms and he rocks before he starts to sing, and then you know that guy, and he starts to sing, and he always sounds like a 78 record, no matter what he's singing. You know, take me home, that guy, and he shuffles. Oh, he's like the sweetest guy, but I hope they don't hurt that guy. Anyways. The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories, though no one knows when the end times will come. There are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning's Edition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Dodgeville, Wisconsin. Your grace.
Thank you, Mr. Marin. Pops.
Hey.
Heed my words, ye feckless imbibers of brown liquid stimulants, ye consumers of pecan rolls and orange peanut breakfast puffs, and every girl named Meadow within an arbitrary 5-mile radius of here. Your days of cramming fancy butter biscuits into your jowls like Satan's chipmunks are numbered. For God has finally leaked your covert identities as kissers of serpents. And soon you'll be nothing but a grubby little footnote in Lamb's Book of Life, you Harry Potter hocus-pokers. For those of you who haven't read The Half-Blood Prince yet, let me fill you in. You're all going to hell. Oh, and Professor Umbridge kills Filch the caretaker after catching and put firecrackers up Buckbeat's butt. Go ahead and sue me, J.K. Rowling. I have the full legal resources of Air America behind me. What? Anywho, as you may recall, blasphemers, three hebdomadals, look it up, three hebdomadals ago, I spake unto you about a group of British teachers who wanted to ban the word fail from the classroom and replace it with the word deferred success. The week after that, I told you how an animal safety group in England had to rescue 556 gerbils somebody was keeping in stacked containers. And the week after that, I distinctly told you, when stacking your gerbils in containers, always remember to put the air holes on the sides in order to prevent cardiac deferred success. But that's neither shuntata nor mutata sitata. Because now a true sign that the rapture is upon us has appeared. Mm. As you may well know, Mark, for years scientists have been using underwater microphones to record momentous events like nuclear detonations and Kirstie Alley slipping in her hot tub. Now they've recorded the actual sounds of last December's catastrophic earthquake in the Indian Ocean. Mark, because of my close proximity to the glory of Christ, I was able to obtain a copy of this horrible sound that scientists refuse to release publicly. It's the very scream of Satan.
Okay.
Brace yourself, Mark. For now, for the first time ever, from deep from within the murky caverns of Earth's spicy gas-filled bowels, you are going to hear the bestial cry of Satan himself.
Wow, Cardinal. That, what an unearthly chilling sound. So that was the scream of Satan?
No, that was the incredible Mr. Lippid. You guys play the wrong track, you schmucks. It was really... How hard is this? It's number 8, right after Fart Noise Party Mix. Nice going. You never used an iPod before? Come on, let's get this right this time, all right? We're burning daylight here, people. Are you ready to hear the horrible shriek of Satan, Lord of Flies?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
What?
What was that? Was that? That was James Brown.
Yeah, really.
Who?
Never mind.
Now, Mark, I'll admit the quality of this audio may be a bit low. I mean, evidently, scientists are still recording the hideous squeal of Beelzebub on primitive 3-track analog equipment from the mid-60s. But listen carefully, Mark, there's more.
Okay.
Notice how Satan, in all his arrogance, is proclaiming how he feels good. And how he knew he'd feel good. It's just absolutely mind-numbing, Mark.
So good!
And you know why he feels so good?
No, why, Cardinal?
Because he's got a U. Ow! Now he goes on to speak about sugars and spices, two ingredients you'll find in every recipe for damnation. The end times are nigh, for it was prophesied in Revelation, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And I quote it. And then there were thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, so mighty an earthquake that Satan felt compelled to lead cops on a high-speed car chase through the streets of Augusta, Georgia, until he was arrested on weapons and drugs charges. Where'd I lose you? So, what's my inspirational message for today, Mark?
Yeah, I don't know.
Soon you'll all be basking in the Lord's divine radiance of global flooding and mass diarrhea.
Oh.
Well, I'll be sitting at the throne of Jesus and his hedgehog, Samantha.
Okay.
And that's when I'll open up a nice big frosty can of opasikatatapatata.
Yeah.
Ah, now that's good rapture.
Yeah.
Until then, fornicators, keep on fornicating, and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell.
Thank you, Cardinal. It's 17 past the hour. It's morning's edition from the Tea Lounge in Brooklyn. It's Air America Radio.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your vlog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Two past the hour with the T-Lounge. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
That's hey.
Mark Pops Riley to you.
Oh, Lord.
837 Union Street. Hey, folks. We got Jaimin Hanzu coming up, star of the new movie, The Island. But right now, you know, a lot of you have been following this. We send our, you know, our Planet Push bureau chief, Lawton Smalls, went to Iraq on the Truth Tour. The group of right-wing journalists who were there going after the truth, and he somehow they kicked him off, or I don't know what happened, but he got kidnapped by insurgents, and they it was awful. We got a couple of hostage tapes from him, and now, thank God, and you know, and I say this because I don't like the guy, but I am happy he's back. He's here with us this morning. Lawton Smalls, yeah, come on out, Lawton. They were holding
thank you, Mark. God bless America.
Oh, boy.
For all of you at home, I just kissed American soil. I'm so glad to be back, all of you. You were praying for me, Mark Maron. I could feel it over there.
Well,
I was in captivity.
Well,
I could feel it.
We were worried about you. I mean, you know, it's dangerous over there, and, you know, we got those tapes. Why don't you tell us what happened?
Well, I don't want to tell you too much, because I got a couple of publishers in a bidding war over my story. They're talking to Clooney about playing me in the movie.
Oh, wow. Oh, come on. Just give us...
Oh, that's not nice. She's dead.
Give us
stop it.
Give us the highlights, will you, Lawton? You know, you're wandering around the desert. These guys drive up in a Jeep. They start yelling. And then we heard they threw a bag over your head. Yeah. And then what happened then?
All right. Well, we drove a long time, okay, and it was 115 degrees. Mm. Unbelievable. I trying to get them to sing, you know, to pass the time. Yeah. You know, those insurgents didn't know 99 bottles of beer on top. I sang it to them for three straight hours, and they didn't sing along. That must be one of those cultural differences.
All right, so
talk about that. Just didn't know it.
So then what? They put you in a room somewhere? They interrogated you? What happened?
Well, yeah, I guess you could call it that, Mark. One of them spoke English, you know, sort of. It was kind of like New York English.
Come on.
I'm saying? He got right up my grill, and he said, you know, he wants to know if I'm in the CIA or the Army or Halliburton or something. And I said, no, sir. I am the Planet Bush Bureau Chief for Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I just told him.
And so how'd that go over?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Their eyes got all big, and they started grinning and laughing and jabbering at each other. Turns out they listen to this show every day on the web. Every day. Those insurgent boys are huge fans of Johnny K Street. Yeah. Wanted to know if they'd ever eaten your zucchini bread. Asked about your cat. Wanted me to tell them stories about Riley back in the day.
Back in the day.
They love Rachel Maddow.
How'd they not know you? Didn't they listen to you on the show?
They had a whole archive of my stuff on MP3 files, Mark. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
They figured since I was on Morning Sedition, their favorite radio show, I must be a huge star in America, and somebody'd be willing to pay, you know, millions of dollars to have me ransomed. So, you know, they made me record those ransom tapes. I had to say some things about President George W. Two-Terms Mandate Bush that I'm less than complimentary, and I want to apologize for that now, Mr. President.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, we played it.
They made me.
They were kind of creepy, man. So, I mean, how'd you finally escape there, Lon?
All right. It was late at night, 6 day of captivity, desert air, still, stifling, full of danger. Using a paperclip I had hidden in my fatigue pants, I managed to quietly pick the lock on my handcuffs.
Oh, come on. You picked the lock on your
just
handcuffs
like,
with a paperclip?
Yes, and then I quietly crept up behind one of my captors, and I mobilized him. Using only two fingers on my left hand.
Oh, come on. All right. You're good,
like
man.
That.
All right.
Unfortunately, he alerted the others before he passed out, and I found myself in a knife fight with three highly trained insurgent commandos.
What?
Mano a mano. I got a couple of slashes on my back. You can't even see them.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, I'm skilled in many forms of martial arts. I have a 6th-degree belt, black belt in Kenpo.
Uh-huh.
And after a series of vicious kicks and blows, I left all three of them gasping on the breath, on the air, breathing down.
Wow. Lawton Van Dam, huh?
Yes. Uh-huh. I stood over their trembling bodies, and I said, you'll take back what you said about President George W. Two-Terms Mandate Bush, and I will spare your useless godless. All of them pledged allegiance to the Republican Party right there. All of them. All the insurgents.
Yeah.
They even said the Democrats should stop pestering Karl Rove and approve that nice man.
Oh, come on. All right,
they said it. I was there.
So then what, Steve McQueen?
I walked to the Jeep, hot-wired it, drove back to Baghdad, got back to the Green Zone Army, gave me a citation for bravery, put me on a train. I'm here now.
Uh-huh.
No problem. It's the usual thing for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's a great story, Lawton. But you know what I think happened over there?
Story? Those are facts, man. Clooney's going to play me.
I think those insurgents captured you, and you spent 6 straight days singing show tunes and the theme from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, I like that song.
Stop.
Like that
and you annoyed them so much they drove me back to Baghdad themselves just to get rid of you, didn't they?
No.
Yes, they did. That's right. Go ahead.
Why wouldn't anybody pay my ransom?
Take it easy, buddy. Take it easy, man.
Nobody likes me. Okay. Everyone tells me to shut up. Shut up, Lawton.
We're glad you're back. We're glad you're back, Lawton. We're glad you're back, okay?
You're glad I'm back?
Yes, we are.
Are you sure?
Yes, we are.
A lot of bad stuff. I don't have to go back over
there. No, you don't. It's fine. I'm glad you're here.
I'll just be here next week.
Okay.
How about that? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Lawton. It's glad to have you back. Lawton Smalls.
Yeah.
Lawton Smalls, folks.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron. I'm here with Pops Riley.
Oh, no, don't fuck it.
Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge here in Brooklyn at 837 Union Street. Rachel Maddow is going to come up in a few minutes and update us. Rachel Maddow from the Rachel Maddow Show.
Yeah.
Here on Air America Radio. Right now, our guest was honored with an Oscar nomination and won an Independent Spirit Award for his role as the tortured artist dying of AIDS in the film In America. He earned a Golden Globe nomination for his performance as the captured African slave in Steven Spielberg's Amistad. And he is currently starring with Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson in the action thriller The Island, which opens today.
Yes.
Gyimin Onsu is
thank
here.
Thank you.
It's great to have you.
Thank you.
It's great to have you. You know, I was watching the promotional package that I got of the film last night, and this is a unique role for you. You're playing sort of a heavy. You're a tough guy, and you're kind of hard. I was surprised, like, oh my God, he's kind of evil. Was that a big shift to do that?
I'm going bad already. No, it was a career move. But again, I think my character have a beautiful arc, so he's kind of like, yeah.
Well, they didn't show me the whole arc. They just gave me the scenes to make me go, what happened? That's all I got.
Now you lost 30 pounds to do this? This latest role, was it?
No, not me. I didn't lose it. I didn't have to lose any weight. I had to be fit.
But you had to be fit. What did you have to do?
Well, pretty much just be conditioned, you know. I mean, physically conditioned, because on a Michael Bay film, he demands a lot of you. So
really, so you didn't have stunt people. You had to do certain things.
Well, I did most of my stunts. I mean, I didn't have a stunt.
Does anyone ever ask Michael Bay, like, hey, dude, how many things can fall off the back of trucks? You know what I mean? Like, there's an hour of this. Just on the trailers alone that I watch, there's literally hours of large things falling off trucks and then cars flying over cars.
Yeah.
Then no one says, dude, I don't think this is going to happen.
Well, a lot of people find it, entertaining, you know. I mean, suddenly his films do extremely well.
Yes, they do. They do. I think you're going to be great in the movie. You look great, and
Thank you. Michael Bay and I
have our issues, but I'm not going to get into it. Why don't you tell us exactly what the role is that you play in The Island?
Well, my character is his name is Albert Laurent, mm-hmm. who's the head of a special team, special forces, who was brought in to hunt down the SKPs played by Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson.
The clones. You guys
so
are right.
Clone, those are the two clones. But our story takes place within the 21st century, where the rich and the famous could afford to buy themselves an insurance policy, and their insurance policy is to be cloned.
So they have clones of themselves, the rich and the famous. See, now, that would probably happen. They're going to deny us, the regular working people, the opportunity to have clones of ourselves. Because you know how helpful that would be to me if I could yell at a clone instead of myself? Oh, my God. Just express my self-hatred on that guy and let him sit home and cry? Wow. So you're chasing clones. You're a clone buster.
Yeah, I'm a clone buster.
You always wanted to be an entertainer when you were in Benin growing up?
I liked the word entertainer, so it all started from there. Yeah.
Did your parents? But your parents really weren't into it. They weren't feeling.
Oh, definitely not.
What did they want you to do?
Well, they wanted me to, turn out to be a doctor or a lawyer, something to be proud of. My son went to school, became a lawyer.
Now, they sent you to France? They sent you to Paris?
I was sent to Paris. And
you disobeyed your parents. You didn't go to school, did you?
Yes. Just a little,
But you got the last laugh, obviously. What do they think now? I mean, what are they?
Oh, obviously, they're proud of me now, but obviously in the beginning, the issue was, who in Africa have we sent to France to better the education, and they come up with a wild dream of wanting to be an entertainer. What kind of vocation is that?
So the crying phone calls from home have stopped of your mother going, why? No more.
Okay.
Now
the bank account is pretty good now.
Oh, that's good.
So now they're like, do you have a room for us over at the house?
Yeah, right.
And okay. All right. Well, that's good. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, you were just talking to me. I know this is speculation, but my wife's favorite movie in the world is Gladiator, and she's a huge fan of yours. And
And you just told me, like, that they might be thinking about doing another Gladiator.
Well, they have talked about, you know, making a sequel of it. And certainly, you know, I guess we're waiting for a great story, a great storyline. So.
Well, you're the only guy that was left alive, so it's going to be good for you.
Yeah, right? What do I care? I'm just waiting patiently.
Just you and Cameron Crowe.
Oh, wow. Now, you're thinking about doing
some
projects
Crowe,
on your own, right?
Russell Crowe, sorry.
Cameron Crowe.
I was thinking about my movie career. I had a very powerful 45 seconds in Almost Famous, but it's not about me. It's about you. Go ahead, Pop.
You're working on some projects of your own. Are you going to become a producer? Is that a desire?
Well, the desire is not necessarily becoming a producer, but it's mostly to sort of look out for myself, or career moves. I have to look out for generate basically work for myself. So that's the idea. So wanting to be a producer is not so much the vocation, but trying to find great stories to produce.
Have a little more control.
Having more control, yeah.
Sure. And what about in terms of your dream project? Do you ever think about doing theater here in New York? Do you have anything that you've created that you're thinking about getting up there? What would be the ultimate for you?
Well, the ultimate is, no offense, but, you want to do art, then you come to New York and do plays.
Exactly. We're doing art here every morning.
And art doesn't really
pay. I know, exactly. Yeah. But it's for a good cause. I'm told it's for a good cause. Every time I get up there.
That's why some of us go and do the island.
Uh-huh. I wasn't offered the opportunity, but I appreciate the sentiment. And for the Gladiator thing, be sure you think about me, because I'm willing to stop for a couple weeks.
Let's talk about it. You have to, you literally have to move to LA. I know how much you're so passionate about LA.
I can be the guy. Here, picture me in the Gladiator. It's you and Russell Crowe, and I'll carry the bags. I'll be the whiny Jew carrying the bags. Like, how much longer? How funny would that be? All right, anyway, back to
you. No, you deal with Russell Crowe.
You want me to fight Russell Crowe?
You deal with Russell Crowe.
Oh, that'd be a very short fight. That'd be absurd. Can't we talk about it? Ow! All right.
One of the things that fascinated me in reading your bio is that you taught yourself the English language.
Yes.
How did you do it? And apparently you did it through television a little bit? Watching television?
Watching television mostly.
Really?
Yeah.
And what did you watch? I'm just curious.
Well, I kind of basically watch. I mean, if you want to learn a language, you obviously have to learn from channels. Mm-hmm. So the only thing available at the time, for me at the time, was Discovery Channel, the Learning Channel,
yeah,
A&E. So there were great documentaries and. Eventually, everything is pretty much graphic, in terms of what they're talking about. And so, little by little, it's just...
Were there some awkward moments at the beginning where you called things the wrong things? Or like?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we didn't... I distracted you from the question with me. What is...
What I thought it was all about me today.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He lied to you when he told you that earlier.
Well, I'm having a nice conversation with you, so I thought I'd say, look at me. But you didn't tell us what your dream project would be. I mean, what do you see yourself doing? Like, if you had an opportunity to play a character, to do a part, what are you really looking for? What means something to you?
Given the fact that I come from was somewhat raised in three different continents. Mm-hmm. I have the luxury of living in three different continents. I think it's quite important to do stories that defines America, because we tend to forget what America stands for.
Okay.
It's mm-hmm. the melting pot of all the other ethnicities, from everywhere. And I think it's important to
Sure, to represent them and show what America means. Now, when you got an Oscar nomination, that must have been sort of mind-blowing. I mean, it was
definitely mind-blowing.
Was it... now, let me ask you something. See, I like to watch the Oscars because I like to watch Tom Cruise lose. and if he's nominated for anything, I just get very excited because I just want to see...
Well,
I didn't realize what radio show I was doing today.
Come on. Now, when you got the Oscar, that moment, you wanted it, right? I mean, you were proud to have gotten the nomination, but you must have been like, yes.
Well, you know, yeah, because you have about, a month to 2 months where it's all about you. It's all about, you get phone calls from people. And so you go through the whole process, and you eventually start to believe in it. You get to the Oscars, and then, excuse my language.
It's okay.
Sorry,
so, we're going to wrap this up. The new film is The Island. Just a couple quick questions. Scarlett Johansson, smart person, stupid? What?
No, smart, beautiful, and very, very, very down to earth.
Ewan McGregor, kind of an ass? No,
really cool. No, definitely a cool guy.
Michael Bay, come on.
Michael Bay, he's edgy.
Okay, good.
There you go.
Diamond Onsu, thank you for joining us. I hope the movie does great. It's great talking to you. Excellent. Rachel Maddow is going to be here with us in a minute. We're coming to you live from the Tea Lounge. It's Morning Sedition, 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
All right.
Morning Sedition.
This is Wake Up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
Down. We're broadcasting live, 49 past the hour at Park Slope, Brooklyn, Tea Lounge.
Yeah.
That's TeaLoungeNewYork.com, TeaLoungeNY.com. They got a lot of shows here at Tea Lounge. Tonight at 9:30 p.m., Waking Vision. You can find out about them at WakingVision.com. I'd also like to thank Greg Wolf, Mikhail Harari, and Oren Arnon for hosting us this morning and being so nice. Give them a round of applause.
Thank you.
Right now, it's our pleasure to welcome to our show again Rachel Maddow from The Rachel Maddow Show.
Yeah.
And from Cross, what is it? What do they call it? The Tucker Carlson thing that you're...
The situation.
The situation with Tucker Carlson. The heck with that guy, man. The hell with that guy. How do you look that mug in the face?
Well, when I look at him and I get frustrated, I think, this is the guy who wants somebody from Air America on his show every day.
That's very nice, that's good.
No matter who else is on there, me being on there means it's the most left-wing thing on television ever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So let's talk about hating Tucker Carlson in a minute. What's going on in London, as best you know at this point?
I was just checking the wires just moments ago, and it seems like the incident this morning is basically that police have confirmed that they killed a guy at a South London tube station. He was running, he tripped, they came down on him, and they killed him. And there were witnesses, the witness of reports at this point, two different ones, one of them saying on a very hot, muggy day in London, he was wearing a very thick, padded coat. Another person saying they actually saw something that looked like it could have been a bomb belt with wires on it.
Wow.
Obviously, the London police aren't usually armed, so the fact that they shot him and killed him means that this was a special squad of police. And if they killed him after they already had subdued him, we can assume it was because they were trying to avert an imminent explosion. We can guess that's going to be the case that they make, but details are still emerging.
Okay. Well, thanks for that report. Sure. Now let's get back to hating Tucker Carlson.
That's awkward. Yeah, yeah.
Now, but when are you sleeping? Do you just not sleep? I mean, what time do you shoot the show in the afternoon?
I'm just about to go to sleep.
And don't do it now.
The show is actually live. We do this show live every night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'm on at Air America 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. So if you kind of do the math there, it means that I sleep when other people are working.
Wow.
I sleep like 9 to 5.
What can you tell them to put you at least on the ad? I mean, there is a Tucker Carlson ad everywhere. I got up this morning. There's a Tucker Carlson ad in my shower.
Yeah.
Which is, I didn't even know that they could get. But can't we just get your face up there?
If there are hackers out there who could do that, if they listen to Morning Sedition in Brooklyn and they're probably here at the Tea Lounge. But if you're a hacker and you want to put my face on all those ads,
I won't object.
Yeah, that would be nice. Now, Rachel, tell the truth.
Yeah.
You've wanted to strangle him with the bow tie, haven't you?
You know, it's interesting, the strangulation thing, because that's the thing I get asked most often. Do you want to put your hands around his neck and squeeze? But there's something about the fact that he's wearing the bow tie. It's almost like he's got a built-in defense around that.
Oh, I don't want to mess that up.
I might get my hands caught in it. Yeah, it might break my thumb. So no, I don't think about strangling him. No.
You don't? Is it a real bow tie, or is it one of those prefabs?
Oh, it's real, and it's tiny. It's very, that's the thing.
Of course it's tiny.
In person?
So big.
Oh.
How could that guy have a big bow tie?
In person, he has much bigger hair than he does on TV and a much smaller tie. I don't know what that means. There you have it. You guys are the interpreters.
You should, I think you just take a couple shots to his ribs. You know what I mean? If you don't want to hit the bow tie, you don't want to mess up his hair, just take a couple shots. But you're not like that. I hear you're winning most of the arguments. Is that
well,
true?
You know, it's weird because it's usually they want balance, right? And this is how it works in TV, is that they want balance. So they have a conservative host, and then they have a liberal panelist, and then a conservative panelist, because they want balance.
Mm.
So it's all. There was one exception. Last night I was on with the Reverend Al Sharpton,
uh-huh.
which was great. Two liberals and Tucker Carlson.
Were you able to talk?
Amazing. I was able to talk, but I didn't want to because I just wanted Al to keep talking. But I just felt like the earth was going to turn the wrong way on its axis. There are two liberals. It's unbalanced. But the funny thing was that Al Sharpton, in the makeup room beforehand, and in every break and all the commercials and everything, all he wanted to talk about was Mark Reilly.
What?
Pops Reilly?
All he wanted to talk about was Mark Reilly.
Uh-oh.
Talking about how long he goes back with you and how much he likes you and how good you are and how much he loves this show.
Oh.
He's talking about Morning Sedition.
I don't owe him any money for this, do I?
No, but...
Well, he gave me a little piece of paper.
Oh, Lord. Wait.
Sounds like someone wants to host a show again to me.
Well, you know, he does do something, I think, locally. I don't know. That job show he had is gone, right?
The job show, I don't think
he lost the job on the job show.
Yeah, he lost the job on the job show. But it's interesting that they put the two of you together. Was it Jay Severin and Tucker? Or?
Severin is no longer on the show.
Wow,
scandal.
That was quick. What'd you do? Trip him down a flight of stairs?
No, it's one of these big scandals that I sleep through because it happens 9 to 5.
Oh.
I wake up and he's gone. I don't know. It was like fought out, and there was a thing in Page 6, and there was all these rumors, and there was nasty comments about his family, and I don't know. I was asleep, but.
Wow.
He's not on the show anymore.
So maybe you can make guys. Tucker disappear next, huh?
Oh, yes. Right.
That's it. The Rachel Maddow Show on television. That's
there
what we're going
go.
For. Thank you, Rachel, for coming down
Thanks
and
for
hanging out with us. It's great to see you. Tune in to Rachel here in New York, 5 to 6 a.m. with all the news that's important and essential to your day. Oh, there's the sound of the fax machine. That's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today, liberal soldiers. 1, protest New York's new bag inspection on subways by transporting free-range chickens in hemp backpacks. 2, boost morale of our troops in Iraq by sending them letters that say morale's not so hot here either. 3, support more sex scenes hidden inside video games. It teaches kids that people who are creative and persistent get or at least simulate more sex. All right. 4, pressure manufacturers of Grand Theft Auto to change cars to fuel-efficient hybrids. 5, create a reality show that involves Karl Rove giving away a national security secret every week as the Republicans protecting him get indicted one by one until he's the only one left in the final episode, then he's hung for treason. There's the phrase of the day. You can just drop this in the conversation. I've got nothing against John Roberts. I just hear he doesn't cast a shadow or reflect in mirrors. Wake up, sheeple. He's going to be the first step for justice.
Uh-oh. So,
wow.
You know, we had a great time here at the Tea Lounge, and we got some really great guests coming up next week, Marcus. Bill Maher is going to be with us.
Yes.
Penn Jillette from Penn & Teller.
With Paul Provenza about the Aristocrats movie. That's going to be interesting.
Yep, and we've got Matt Bion, the Democrats, and David Poland on Hollywood.
And
so
we
don't want to miss any of this.
And we also want to thank all our guys for the Morning Sedition staff
crew
here. We got Kalo back at Morning Sedition Central, back there at the headquarters running all the sound.
We've got Anthony and Dave, the two giants.
Yeah, little Goliath and big Goliath. We've got Gerald here on the board, and Matt and Brendan and Jonathan Larson, and I know I'm forgetting people. And Lucy.
Lucy,
our booker. We're going to get you on the air soon. There's something about you I think would be good on the air. It doesn't have to be now because it'd be unfair. We have 30 seconds. But... But in the future, we will do that. So, Riley, where are you going this weekend? Just sitting at home?
I'm sitting at home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to do some comedy. I'll be at Gotham Comedy Club floundering if you'd like to come see me tonight or tomorrow night. It'll be funny.
You know you have a good time.
I always knock myself, don't I? I got to get the clone that I can hit. Okay, man.
Right.
So we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks
good morning, tradition here at the T-Lounge, TLoungeNY.com. Tonight they're going to be having Waking Vision at WakingVision.com. But go to that, check out details. Have a good weekend, Riley.
You too.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.